Do it. Okay, let's go ahead. Now we're going to pick up here with these 10 scriptural convictions that children need to be taught. And let me say, and every parent needs to know, because we need them. Okay, this is good for everybody. If you've got your handout, go ahead and pull that out. If not, we've got some more on the back table. Does anybody need one? Does anybody need one? Isaiah, will you, or Brother Damian, if you've got it, will you hand those out for me, please? And just, if you need one, will you just stick your hand up? We'll make sure you get one. We should, I think there's about 4 or 5 copies there. Just want to make sure people have one. There should be enough for everyone. These are 10 scriptural convictions that children need to be taught. I'm just going to go through the first 5 we went through last week, and then we'll pick up with the second 6. Again, it's not original to me. You can see the author of it down on the bottom, I believe. I put it there. So, the first, the Bible's the inspired Word of God and the sole authority for our life. Right. It's the sole authority. It's the only authority we go to. This is makes all my decisions. Okay? Number 2, my purpose in life is to seek God with my whole heart and to build my goals around His priorities. I could preach that one again, because we need to teach our children that. Build your purpose in life is to seek God with your whole heart. Teach your children that from a very young age. What does God want for you? Don't try and dictate their path and tell them this is what you need to be in a career. No, say, what does God want for you? Have you asked God about that? Amen. Well, I want to be this. I want to do this. Have you asked God about it? Start telling them that when they're 2 years old, when they're 1 year old, when they're 6 months old. Tell them, we're praying that you do, that you follow the Lord, that you would do what God wants you to do. That's what we need to teach our children, because the world's going to fill them with garbage. The world will fill them with nonsense. We have to stand against that. They need to build their goals around His priorities. Look, that means if you're building your goals around His priorities, you'll be in church. You'll be in church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God says, in all these things, I'll take care of all the physical needs you have. I'll take care of all of it if you seek me first. Be in church. Read the Word of God. If you're building your life around His priorities. Number 3, my body is the living temple of God and must not be defiled by the lusts of the flesh. That means we got to get ourselves in check. This right here, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Get your vessel under control, your body. Control it. Cut things off if you need to. Get rid of things, remove things. We have to teach this to our children. That's why it's important we tell them no. That's why it's important we tell them no and mean no. Amen. Can I have more candy? No. And then you give it to them. You just told them, hey, whatever your flesh wants, you get. Whatever your flesh wants, you get. Stop doing that. Teach them that no, you can't always have what your flesh wants. You need to deny your flesh. Teach them that. You'll help them in the long run. Amen. Look, to be a godly parent, you can't be lazy. You cannot be lazy if you're going to be a godly parent. Well, it's just easier to just let them have it. I know it's easier. Right now. Right. It's easier when they're 2 and 3, but I'm telling you, when they turn 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, it is not going to be easier. You'll be in a living nightmare. Yep. I'm telling you, that's the truth. I've witnessed it in people's homes. I've counseled people that are going through it. It's not going to be easier. Get it taken care of right now. Amen. Right now. Say, my kids are already 16, then get it taken care of right now. Deal with it now. Don't wait. It's not going to get better. Start dealing with it now. Take care of it now. Teach your children to deny their flesh. We do that by telling them no. Number 4, my church must teach the foundational truths of Scripture and reinforce my basic convictions. We looked at the doctrine of Christ, how important that is. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Look, this fits well with marriage as well. You teach them that. Right. Can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're not in agreement, you're going to be fighting each other all the time. Amen. All the time. Husband and wife, you got to be on the same page. You got to be on the same page. Wives, you're going to have to defer to your husband. Just defer to him. So I don't agree with that. Well, is he asking them to do something sinful? Then you just defer to him. I don't think it's right. You just defer to him. If you're going to go against his authority, all you're doing is you're training your children to go against your authority. Think about it. If you go against your husband's authority, or look, can I put it like this? If say you never go against your husband's authority because he never is allowed to have any opinion. You're teaching your children. You're teaching your children something. You defer to your husband's authority because if you go against it, you just showed them that, children, here's a mama teaching with her hands. Okay? Every wise woman buildeth her house. Buildeth her house. All right? Every wise woman buildeth her house, but she plucketh it down with her hands. Okay? You're teaching them with your hands. If the husband says something and you go against it, here's what you just showed your children. This is what you turned around and said to your children. Children, you really don't have to listen to what your mother says because it's not important. No. Mother. Mother. You're telling them you don't have to listen to me because I don't have to listen to him. And you also don't have to listen to him or me. That's what you're telling them. Say, no, I teach my children to honor and obey me. Do you honor and obey your husband? You see, we're always teaching. If I can get that across through all of this whole series on the family that we're always teaching. And gentlemen, the burden lays on us. The burden of all of it lays on us. Look, if your wife is not raising your children how you want, it's your duty to get in there and teach her how to do it. It's your duty to get in there and teach her, this is how I want it done. No, we're not going to let our children do that. It's not going to happen. No, we don't let our children act that way. And you show her by example and you say, here's what we're going to do. Here's how it needs to be done. And wife, your duty is to just submit to your husband and follow him. The only time you can disobey that is when he's doing something sinful or he's asking you or your children to do something sinful. Then you have authority from God to disobey him. Until then, you do not. Amen. Until then, you do not. And husbands, that burden lays on us. The responsibility, the accountability for it is going to be on us when we stand before God. Say, well, my wife wanted it done this way. He says, I don't care. I put you in charge. You ever been at a place somewhere and some disaster happens, you're at work, and you're just like, man, thank God I'm not the boss. You ever thought that before? Thank God I'm not in charge of this one. Right? That's a good time to not be the boss. And when you're the boss, you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Okay? But it's a good time sometimes to not be the boss. But you wouldn't expect the owner of the company or whatever it is to bypass your boss and come to you and say, hey, how come you let this happen? You're like, I just did what I was told. It's the same way in the home. God's going to hold the husband accountable. Yeah, we each have to answer to God. I get that. But you're the head of the home. So what are you doing to lead your home? If you see something and you don't like the way it's happening, it's your job. You need to step in and say, we're not doing it that way. Uh-uh. No, no, no. We're fixing that. No, don't let the children act like that. Don't let them do that. Mom, don't ever go against what your husband says. If he tells your kids something, he's getting after him. Don't ever go against him. You're tearing down authority. You're destroying it. You can't do that. Because you're just hurting your kids. Look, I know there's been times when I've said something my wife didn't agree with, but there's also been times she said something I don't agree with, but in front of the kids, I back her up. I'm standing right with her. Man, if my kids are disrespectful, especially, I'm not just picking on my son, it would be any boy if I had any boy, but I only have one son, but especially if my son is disrespectful to his mom, man, I'm on him like white on rice. I'm all down his throat. Don't talk to your mother like that. And he knows he's going to deal with me. You don't treat your mother like that. You have to. You got to be on them. You're teaching them. Men, it's our responsibility. Don't brush it off and put it to your wife. She's got a lot she has to do. Running a home is not easy. Look, I'm telling you, I couldn't do it.
Amen.
I could not do what my wife does. I couldn't do it. And if I had to do it, it wouldn't be as good. I'm just telling you. I'm like, I just wear those clothes again. You know, we'll wash them sometime. Just wear them again. They're still clean enough. I'm like, we're going to be eating a lot of cereal. Okay? A lot of toast. I mean, because my wife does stuff. I can't do it. Women can multitask like men cannot. I couldn't run the home the way she does. But she couldn't lead the home the way I do.
Amen.
Come on now. Your wife can't lead the home the way you can, the way God wants you to. Because she doesn't think like you do. God put you in charge on purpose. Stop giving the reins over to your wife. Take them and lead. And wives, let your husbands lead. Let them lead. Even if it goes against everything in you and you're screaming inside, you have to teach yourself to submit. You have to. My children and grandchildren, number 5, belong to God, and it's my responsibility to teach them scriptural principles, godly character, and basic convictions. So many of these just flow right into with one another, but it is our job to model for them and teach them these, you know, godly character, these basic convictions. When they see it in us, that's the greatest teacher we have. Remember, going back to the mother, someone look that verse up for me. I don't know the reference of it. It's in Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 14. But a wise woman buildeth her house. A wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. I think it's Proverbs 14:22, maybe. I could be wrong on that. I don't know. Maybe 14:1, I'm not sure. 14:1, okay. Let's go ahead and turn there then, please, if we would. I just want everyone to see it. I quoted it, but I want you to see it. It's the things we do. Now, specifically, it's given to a woman. Because a woman has more influence in the home, because she's the one there, she's the one raising the children. But look, this truth applies to every single one of us, that we're either going to build our homes through wisdom, or we're going to be fools and we're going to pluck it down with our actions, by our hands. Okay, Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So if you're going against what your husband says, if you're going against scriptural principles, then what you are doing is you are plucking it down with your hands. That's what you're doing. You're tearing your house down. It's like you're going outside and you're taking a sledgehammer to parts of it and just beating it down. Take a sawzall. I'm cutting this portion of the wall out. We don't need it. Who's going to do that to their actual home? You say, no one, that's foolishness. Right? Isn't it foolish to just go start tearing your house apart? Start ripping the shingles off, breaking windows. You're like, what fool would do that? Exactly. What fool would pluck down their house with their hands? Happens all the time. Every day. Happens in Christian homes. All the time. Because we're not willing to follow and do it God's way. Well, that's not what I was taught. I was taught a lot of wrong things. Can we get past that? Can we get past that and be teachable and learn to do it God's way? God's way. I know maybe I'm hard on this, but because, man, our children are so precious. They're precious. And if we love them, we're going to train them from the time they're little. Amen. So that when they're old, they won't depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. That's what we want. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. They're precious to us. That's why I'm hammering on this thing. Get them right now when they're little. Deal with it now when they're young. Don't wait till down there. It's near impossible down there. It's near impossible down there. I'm not saying it's utterly impossible. With God, all things are possible. But it's near impossible. Because by that time, they have a mind of their own, and you've trained them this way, and that's just what they're going after. So deal with it here. And for some of you, that means if you're going to deal with it down here, some of you don't even have kids yet. So I'm telling you, hold on to this. Man, just bury this thing deep in your heart and hold on to it. Because when you start having kids, man, you deal with it right here. I've known a lot of people that said, I will never let my kid act like that until they have their little angel. And that is the worst behaved kid out there, because I just can't bring myself to spank my child. Right. Oh, they're so precious. Okay, wait. So that little devil's running around and won't listen to you. You shouldn't call children devils? What? Why not? Hey, Jesus told the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. Little devils running around. Is there a parent in here that's not ever wanted to just, man, let me lock my children up and throw them in a closet? Maybe there's some of you here, but we've had lots of moments like that. I mean, we love our kids, amen? But there's been those moments where you're just like, man, this kid is driving me up a wall. Driving me up a wall. Right. It's none of those four. Other people's kids, right? Yeah. No. But I'm telling you, if we'll just deal with it right here, you're going to make your life so much easier. Man, your life will be a blessing over here. I'm not saying there's not going to be hard times and all that, but man, it'll be so good. You'll have such good fellowship with your children. And it'll just be a joy just to be able to talk with them. And yeah, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to do wrong things and you're going to have to guide and lead them and help them. But I'm telling you, some of the things that some families have had to deal with, I mean, their kids running away, their kids hitting them. You let a 2-year-old hit you, the 15-year-old will hit you. And they hit harder. And then you hit back and then you go to jail. You think, oh, no one would ever do that. Really? We're not all human? You're just going to let your kids start beating on you? I mean, I know of daughters just start swinging on their mom, just swinging at them, hitting their mom. Young men, come, start, step up to their dad. I mean, just heard of a man we're praying for his ex-wife. He went and almost would have probably killed his mother had his dad not come in. Grown man, probably 28 years old. Almost beat his mother to death. The only reason he probably did not, he's already killed someone. The only reason he did not is because his father came into the house and saw what was going on and him and his father started fighting. You think, how does that happen? Because a stinking 2-year-old little brat was allowed to do it over here. Yep. That's why a 28-year-old grown man is doing it. That's why. It's, oh, he's just little. It's okay. She's just a little. Doesn't last that long. It doesn't stay that way. They grow up. Think, how come you got all these men beating women? Right. Why? Because they're allowed to do it over here. Mom lets them. Mom lets them. Don't tolerate any of it. None of it. Amen. Zero tolerance on that. I don't care how old they are. As soon as they're doing it, you tell them something, they're like, eh. Even if they swing at the air, grab their little hand and... No. When you tell them, scare them. Most of it is more scaring them than actual pain when they're little, when they're like, you know, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months old. That's mostly what it is. And they just cry because of the sound. Don't let them get away with that stuff. Do not let it happen. Some of you don't have kids yet. Don't let them do that stuff. Amen. Do not. Like, this is it deep in here? Is it heavy in here? Is it weighty in here? This is some deep stuff, isn't it? Because it's serious and it comes right down to ground level where we live. And again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings with this. I'm not picking on anyone. I'm not even saying any of you are going through this. Some of you just don't let it happen when you have kids. Don't let your children act this way because I see it everywhere out there. Everywhere out there, this is how children behave. Stop it. Don't let them do that. Whoop them. Beat down their throat. If your children ever swing at your wife, you ought to be all over them, man. All over them, whooping them. Whooping them. So they know, man, I'm going to give you a beating you'll never forget. Some of you, maybe some of you don't like the way I even said that. The Bible talks about that. Beat your child with the rod. God said it. God said that. If you don't, you hate your child.
Yep, exactly right.
If you don't, you hate your child. You better whoop them. Or... are you like those in Jeremiah's day that said, we won't listen to thee? I'm not spanking my child. That's your choice. You don't have to. You don't have to. But understand, you're in disobedience to the Lord if you don't whoop your child. I don't care who they are. Every child disobeys, and every child needs it. Because when you do that, you're teaching them there's consequence for sin. You're teaching them that. They need to be taught that.
Amen.
Every child. Now, there's a proper way to whoop your child, to paddle them. I say, don't ever use your hand. When they're very little, I'll flick them. I might smack their little hand. But after it gets to the point where they're probably even like at age 2, I turn it to a paddle. I don't want it to be my hand. I don't want my child to, I want them to know my hands are for love.
Amen.
I want them to come and know my hands are for love. Not they come and you know, I go to scratch my ear and my kid's like flinching because they think I'm going to hit them. I don't ever want that.
Amen.
That's why you don't ever just haul off and start whooping your kid. No, let it be controlled. I mean, I've had my kids sit for an hour in our room waiting for me to go in there. So I'm under control. So I'm ready to deal with them. So I can go in and properly administer that punishment. And that's how you do it. When they disobey you, my kids knew I'd get the paddle. If I told them to get the paddle, they still know where it's at. Get the paddle. Man, I heard of some kids when they like have a paddle or something, they try and hide it. Man, my kids, you're going to get it way worse if you ever try and hide that thing from me. Don't even try that because it's just you're making your own life worse. Don't do that. But they know where that paddle's at, and I tell them, go get the paddle, and they'd know, and they'd go right to my room. And I'd go in there. I would talk with them about why they did it, about what they did, about why they did it, about if they think it's wrong. I'd tell them it's sin. And then I would pray with them, and then I'd have them pray. And then I'd whoop them. And here's the key that most parents miss, because they say, we paddle our child, they still don't obey. And this is key. You have to do this. If you don't do this, you're fighting a losing battle. And this is hard. We've had to do it. My wife could not have done what I had to do for my son. She could not have done it. She would not have done it. I almost couldn't do it. But you have to whoop them until you break their will. And it's a fine line between breaking their will and breaking their spirit. You don't want to break their spirit, but you have to break their will. When I first had to do it, I was like, how do you know when their will's broken? I didn't know how to tell. But as soon as it happened, I knew instantly. Their body lets you know. They just stop fighting. They just collapse. Bent over my knee, and there was no more, none of that. It just, and I knew the will had been broken. Now, if you're not willing to do that, just let them be. Don't even whoop them. Because you're just going to continue to strengthen their will. They'll say, I can hold out longer than you.
Amen.
And I will. And you're just going to harden and harden and harden and harden their will. And I'm telling you, some kids, my daughters, man, I tell them, go get the paddle. They were already broken. They were already broken. So it'd be more just like, you know, two whaps or something just to let them know there's consequence for sin. And that would be about it. But they would already be broken when they were in there, just on the walk to it. It was like the long mile, you know. You know, nobody wants to make that walk, okay? But they were broken on the walk. But my son, unfortunately, he's just like me. It's good and it's bad, okay? There's pluses and minuses to it, but he's just got a strong will. And I had to break his will. And thank God I did. It honestly, it changed our family. It was for his own good. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. But what I had to do, it was one night, and what I had to do, my wife could never have done it. She couldn't have. I barely was able to. But I thank God I did. I thank God I did. Bible says you whoop your child. I don't remember the exact reference of the verse. I'm paraphrasing it here. It's in Proverbs. But if you beat your child with the rod, you'll save them from hell. You'll save their soul from hell. And that day, that's what happened. And that is probably, if not the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But I thank God for it. When we go to whoop our children and paddle them, we need to do it with love. We need to go in there because we love that child. And because we know that, yes, it's going to hurt them right now, but in the long run, it's for their own good. It'll really be for the best. I can think back to the whoopings I got in my life, and now, as an adult, I look back and I thank God that my parents did that for me. And I'll tell you what, something else, I can stand here and say I should have gotten probably 10 times as many as I did.
Amen.
I should have gotten more. It would have made my life easier now. Because I wouldn't have to battle with some of the things I got to battle with. I wouldn't have to fight my flesh like I have to fight my flesh. I get it, we're all going to have to. But why do we want to make it harder for our kids? Why not help them make it easier for them? We're living in a society today where I didn't even get into any of the stuff today. That's okay. We live in a society today, though, where how many children are obese today? How many children are considered obese? And I know I'm not like, great, I hate those stupid charts that they're like, oh, our children are always under average. I'm like, have you seen how tall I am and my wife is, okay? They don't stand a chance of being average, okay? I mean, they're going to be, they're underweight, they're under height, I mean, everything, because we're just, you know, I'm 5 foot nothing. My wife says she's taller than me, but she's 5 foot nothing, even less, okay? So, I mean, we never fit those charts, but I'm just telling you, if you just look around, you can see that there's a lot of children that are obese. What are we teaching them? We have to teach our children, hey, stop eating. Stop. Don't eat that. Eat healthier. But that means we got to change. And how hard is it for us to change our habits that we've built in for a lifetime, to change the flesh, what our flesh desires and wants? How hard is it for us? So if it's that hard for us, let's help our children and make it easier for them by telling them no. And in doing that, then we model it and say, that monster inside of us that wants to, we say no. We got to do it. See, we can build our house or we can pluck it down with our hands. We can help our children, we can hurt them. To help them, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to mean then that you can't be lazy. I mean, there's been times when I've, you know, you see your kids doing wrong, you almost don't even want to look at it because you're like, I don't want to have to get up and deal with this. I'm tired. I've been at work all day. I don't want to deal with this. But you have to. You have to. I mean, when our children were younger, what we used to do is if they disobeyed in some area, that we'd take them, we'd go through that process, we'd paddle them, and then we'd come back out and immediately we'd ask them, hey, we want you to go do anything. I didn't care what it was. We'd ask them to go do something else just to see if they'd obey us with a good attitude. And if they didn't, guess what? We'd be right back in there. Right back in there, whooping them again, teaching them obedience. And then we'd come out and we'd ask them. And I mean, you don't even want to. You know, inside you're like, I did not want to do this, but you're doing it for their own good. So, hey, go get this for me. It's in my room. Go grab it for me. Go bring me my boots or what, anything. It doesn't matter. Any, just to see if they're going to obey. It can be anything. Just to see if they'll obey. Tell them, go touch the refrigerator and come back. Anything. I mean, whatever. And if they have the right attitude, good. If not, got to deal with it. We can't be lazy as parents, though. We have to deal with these issues. So, all right, we want to teach and model godly character and basic convictions for our children. All right, and then next week we'll go through number 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, okay? Let's pray.